Tonight, we're going to be studying why you need a church family. Why you need a church family. There are five benefits of a church family, and that's what we're going to go over. Number one benefit is the church helps us center our life around God. Now, you can be saved accepting Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and not go to church, but you cannot be saved and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life and be at peace not going to church. People try to say, well, you're saying the church is the way. No, I'm saying that God says church is the way through Jesus Christ. All of us are a part of that body. Acts 2, 46, first part of verse 46. They worship together regularly at the temple courts. They worship together. It is the together that makes a difference. Now, when we get together and we get to talking or we get to worshiping, let me tell you, when you're sharing heartbreaks and heartaches, that's worship. When you're sharing it together in God's house or with God's people, it is not the physical building until that becomes God's house, until it is filled with God's church. And God's church is we the people. Psalm 68, second part of verse 4. We celebrate as we worship you. Worship is a celebration. But it's a celebration for us to center around one another. We are to discuss our problems, but we are never allowed within the church to ever allow things from the outside to come in to disquiet the church or for problems from the outside, whether it's political or whatever it is. You don't allow that to happen. You protect the church. Right now in our society and what is going on within the whole nation, I don't care who the politician is or who else it is. It doesn't matter to me. But we are dealing with pure morality right now. If things are just immoral. Y'all been listening to the doctor that's on trial for the slaughter of those babies? I thought it was amazing that one guy, that reporter, that he's going in and he's listening to the trial that's going on. He said, when I went in, I was pro-choice. I had no problem with abortion. But he said, when I walked out of that courtroom, I was pro-life, seeing how horrible that is, and the murder. What is it, 50 million babies so far slaughtered? And they're leaving them, you listen to a deal where they just leave them out on a table and let them, let them die without having, gosh, you know, I never had, Viet Cong didn't do that, did they, Bob?
This guy.
I don't know. They came pretty close on some things.
This guy has assistance coming here. Would he be available?
Yeah.
Snip their spines.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's vicious is what they were doing. Vicious. And you remember, Gene, because you remember some of the smart aleck things I said years ago. I really got in trouble on a sermon, which is new, but what I got in trouble with and got the phone call when I made the statement that if I knew there was an abortion being performed, I was walking down the hall and I heard a baby cry and that doctor said, let him die. I'm going through the door and I'm taking the baby out. I got the call and let me know that how in the world could a man of God break the law because it's legal?
Because the major law had been broken.
What law?
Well, yeah, you all knowing my personality, that did not go over very well with me. But, you know, I can't picture any of my friends that I know are Christians that would see that or hear that, that would not do everything you could to save that baby's life.
How could you live with it if you didn't?
Yes. How do people live when you harden your heart to the point that the cry of a child and the slaughter of innocent children doesn't bother you? You got a lot of trouble. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Christ's love has the first and last word in everything we do. Okay. Christ's love has the first and last word in everything we do. Remember this. Remember, I shared with you when we get to heaven, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, and he starts burning the garbage and doing the separation. Remember, only that we have done from the heart of love is what's counted as positive. All the rest of it, I don't care how many good deeds we do, if we don't do them out of pure love, they're going to be burnt. It's not the good deed doing that makes the difference. It's the love or lack of love during that process. Now, some people do good things, but they do it because they feel like they have to. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center, Christ's love. That's the focused center. Always it's his love. Now, on Mother's Day, Sunday, on the 12th, I've been working on a message that deals with what God says that we are supposed to do. As he said, I've got guidelines, and I've set the guidelines since the beginning of time, and we're to go by those guidelines. But some people have decided, well, we don't have to go because this is the 21st century. You go by God's guidelines as a Christian. I don't care what century it is. If you want the peace from God, do we realize, the slaughter of 40,000 a month or so? They were talking about a slaughter of babies through abortion and how many abortions there were that we didn't even hear about and all of this. Our nation is going down the tube, folks. Last night, morning after pill is going to be put on the shelf. And do you know what they argued about? Because they're giving it to the 15-year-olds. Now they're having a fit because it should be open to any age. Doesn't matter what age. Does that not in itself entice a young girl to go out and have sex? That's immoral, folks. It is immoral. So that's not what I'm dealing with tonight. I didn't think, but here we go. Okay, number two, five benefits of a church family. The church helps us connect with other believers. Folks, it's lonesome when you're standing and you don't have believers around you. When you're standing to speak in the midst of individuals that you know good and well, have no respect for God's word or for you. It's lonesome when you don't have fellow Christian brothers and sisters out there. But if you can look and you see that Christian, you know good and well they're praying for you and praying for you to be able to get the word out. Romans 12, second part of verse 5, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. Please, again, remember, the personality he gave you for a purpose. Don't be changing the good part of your personality just because it's odd. Don't do that. It's there for a purpose. As a Christian, we are one body, but we're individuals. I'm an individual part of the body of Christ. I have a ministry that God has called me to do. I cannot perform the ministry God has called me to do in the best form unless the Christians make up the rest of the body do what they're supposed to do. They can't do what they're supposed to do by God if I don't feed them the word of God. We are all dependent on each other. And that's the importance of the church. There's a benefit within the church, but the church is not supposed to sit back and watch people take advantage of the love or the heart of Christ that is within the church. You do no one any good by letting them get by with foolishness without confronting it. You do no one any good, especially the individual that's messed up. You offer to help in love, always extending that love, but you protect From my standpoint as a pastor, I will protect the flock. Now, Romans 12, verse 5. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us find our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a cropped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much. I got that from the Message version, as you know. I thought, man, I can relate to that one. Cropped off finger, so therefore I'm not going to just cut it off. I'm going to live with that crooked finger, people. 1 John 4:21. The person who loves God must also love other believers. Okay, so therefore love is not an option. You are to love, but are you not also to perform the ministry God called you to? Now, if God called you to a ministry of prayer, then pray for individuals. You do not have a right as a Christian not to pray for someone. I do not have a right as a Christian to hold grudges against anyone. Neither does any other Christian. You deal with the truth and say, look, here's the facts. This is what's going on. Let's deal with it. A lot of people do not want to deal, especially with the truth. When we deal with the truth, it's like looking in a mirror and realizing that what you think you look like ain't the reflection coming out of what you really look like. And it's the idea of looking in that mirror and, you know, you feel 21. But as soon as you look, you ain't 21. So it's an idea of being realistic. Our walk with Christ needs to be a real walk. It needs to be deal with the troubles of life, the conflicts of life, and yet taking his word and understanding that I must love, but I love through Christ. You and I do not have the ability to love everybody that we want to. We don't have that ability. You know why? Because you think about me, and you all know what my pet peeve is or what sin, and that's to deal with abusing children. Now, you know, I ask God, you're going to have to give me grace, and you're going to have to give me strength to deal with this. It's during the with prison or jail with these guys. You're going to have to give me grace. One time I remember at the prison in the chapel, and, you know, and this guy has told what he did to children like he was confessing. I stopped him right in the middle of it and ran him out of the chapel. Now, some people would say, I can't believe you ran him out of the chapel. Jim Dent, the chief of chaplains at that time, he said, I can't believe it didn't hit him with a chair before he ran him out of the chapel. But you see, don't you see things and you just have trouble? You know, gosh, have you ever seen somebody you just can't love? You're looking and you think, you know, I know that God has told me to love. So what I'm going to do, now see, here's where the church comes in. And I come in and I know that personality I can't love. And the church comes in and I say, okay, Judy, you love them because I can't stand to look at them. You know, it's where we will take up the slack. We realize we hang around people that we can relate to. Doesn't mean we don't like the other people. But if you can't relate as a Christian to other Christians, you don't step on those Christians. What you do is you give your heart to Christ and say, Lord, am I as unlovable to others as this guy is unlovable to me? Then when you hear him say, yes, you're in a mess. But, you know, you see what I mean? Okay, but we are to. I would not that any person have to go to hell. I don't care what they've done. I just can't stand the idea of somebody going to hell. Neither can I stand the idea of any government or any law of the land that causes me to quit preaching about Jesus. The whole thing and all of this, and there's, oh gosh, two or three other papers of what these people have said. All of this goes against Christianity in the name of Jesus. You quit saying the name Jesus. It was in all that stuff. Don't use Jesus' name because you all are mean. And then at one time he said, these are nothing but monsters. Now, we, through love, are monsters. But the ones who murder innocent children, well, that's okay. That's the society we're seeing, folks. And the church has got to stand up. And the pastors, those who are in leadership positions, need to stand up and speak out. And many say, well, why don't they? I can tell you right now, they're afraid. They're afraid of losing their position. They're afraid of losing their job. They're afraid. Ministry is not a job. It happens to be a privilege God gives you. So you do it where you minister with honor, and you stand strong with that. I had my rough days. I don't have time for the rough days anymore. I've got a job to do, and that's preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But folks, how many people today that I, when I'm talking with them or listening to them talk, they joke about going to hell? Joke about it.
No conception.
None whatsoever. Now, it's just a name. They have no idea that it's a real place, and it's real reality forever and ever. Can you imagine eternally dying in hell but never able to die? Gosh, I could picture me. Oh, here's what I told Faye. Now, Judy, you'll have to see till it's done. She said she wasn't going to do it. I said, Faye, if I'm ever in a coma or any of that, all I want you to do when the doctor says, okay, it's over, all I want you to do is have him put some earphones on me, and I want to hear this ship wasn't made to sail, and I'm just waiting for my ride. Now, when I hear that, and God willing, I'll come out of the coma, or I'll just catch my ride and go on. You know, it doesn't really matter. But think of it. You and I have a job to do. What are we going to do if all Christians quit doing their part? There'll be no church. What are we going to do if what the world is wanting us to do, us to keep our mouth shut about who Jesus is, then they have no hope? Then why are we here if we're not here to do that? Why don't we just go on? And that's what they're saying. Go on. Wherever you're going. Well, I am. And all Christians, we're going to go on one day, but it's going to be when God says so. Okay. Number three, the church helps us grow to spiritual maturity. Now listen to this. Ephesians 4:16. Christ's body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4:11-16. He also gave apostles, prophets, missionaries, as well as pastors and teachers, and as gifts to his church. Their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve. Again, how many times you hear people say, well, what does the church offer for me and my family? And to build up the body of Christ. This is to continue until we become mature and measure up to Christ, who is the standard. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed and carried about by all kinds of teachings that change like the wind. We will no longer be influenced by people who use cunning and clever strategies to lead us astray. Instead, as we lovingly speak the truth, we will grow up completely in our relationship to Christ, who is the head. He makes the whole body fit together and unites it together through the support of every joint. As each and every part does its job, he makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let me pitch something out there for us on that. The church that is of God. God puts together. Okay, and I'm saying that for this reason. When people say, you go out and I want you to witness out in the community, but don't go any lower than a school teacher. School teachers and up, I want you to go share with them to come to church. Now, the church of God is the church where God sends them. God builds the church. I will send them. Many say, well, it is the, I don't know whether y'all know this or not, but such as you talk about the super churches or the power churches. The Apostle Paul mentioned that in his day, but he called them super apostles. And they were growing and growing and growing the church through popularity or something in that story. But he called them, but what he said was this, but many are getting saved. And he said, that's the key. The super apostles that come out with the big bands and all, nothing wrong with that. Maybe God sent them to relate to those individuals. So Paul said, but people are getting saved. So when we start with one another as Christians in our denominations and all, as Christian, I thought it was sort of interesting that the evangelical Baptists or the Christians are hooked in with the Catholic Church. All of us are monsters. Interesting. Okay. Number four. The church helps us contribute something back. Every one of us understands something as Christians. We can never repay God. Every one of us understands something that God will give, whether it's ability, gifts, money, or whatever, it doesn't matter. God will give it to the ones that he knows will use it properly. Now, listen to Ephesians 2:10. God has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. People said, see, now God made it so you didn't have a choice. I said, gosh, that's such garbage. When I freely gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and he says, here's what I want you to do, Larry. You have a new life for me. And this was planned long ago before time that we should spend their lives in helping others. I understand that. And therefore, I understand that God says, I give you the freedom to choose to go do that. Sadly, many choose poorly. 1 Corinthians 3, first part of verse 9. We work together as partners who belong to God. Paul was jumping on the church at Corinth. Because have you ever noticed some of the most stern preaching that he did was not to lost people, it was to the Christians. He didn't go out and was nailing the individuals he knew was lost. They had a reason for being dumb. They didn't know Jesus. He's in the church at Corinth and trying to clean it out. When you start bringing into God's house foolishness from the world, it is the foolishness of the world that will separate us from worshiping God. You agree? Working together. Oh, that's a strange concept, isn't it? Why don't we figure this out together instead of getting mad at each other and everybody just walking off in a slobber? That's Kentucky. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. It is the effectiveness of what we do. Do you ever just do busy work? See anybody do busy, you know, and what you, I've said this before, I got to kill some time before I do. Kill time? You ain't got that much left, Larry. If I was you, I'd be figuring out something to do with that time instead of killing it. So you just keep studying.
Yeah. You can't do that with one person.
That's right.
It's got to be a group.
It's always, you got to be united together. Because one person alone cannot totally represent who Christ is. Okay. 2 Timothy 4, the second part of verse 5, complete, this was really meant something to me, complete the ministry God has given you. The great problem you're having today, why are churches having such a hard time finding pastors? Well, I remember hearing this years ago, and it is a fact, when an individual came to me and he was talking about their church and said, you know, and I knew the situation with two pastors that they had had. And he comes and he's telling this story. I've heard that story I don't know how many times. They couldn't get the pastor in line. I said, well, what's he doing? He's not preaching the word. Oh, no, he's a great preacher. But he won't do what we tell him to do when it comes to visiting and all the other stuff. And he said, finally, they just got to go when they won't do what we tell them. And he said, so I don't know why we're having trouble. I said, well, let me ask you this. Why would God send you another one of his men when he's seen what you did to the last two? Why would God do that to one of his servants? Yeah, that didn't go over. Okay. Hebrews 6:10. God will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you've shown your love to him by caring for other Christians. All right. In order for me to work for God, that means there's got to be somebody else. The work for God, every one of us have, is the work of love, to share the love of Jesus Christ. I can't, you know, I can stay by myself all the time, but I cannot do the work of God by myself. I must go out and I must do what God has called me to do. But isn't it great to hear that God will not forget how hard you have worked for him? How many times you work for somebody else or work for a corporation and they don't even give you a thank you? Don't even care, okay? Even God doesn't do that. Okay, your last one, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless. Isn't that amazing? Folks, that's the God that loves us, the God that we serve. And I've got more. I missed a page. We're going to get it right now, page 5. The church helps us communicate God's message. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-20. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. And then God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. He gave us the message of peace. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. 1 Peter 2:9. You are God's instruments to do his word and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. Now that's witnessing. The testimony focuses on who you are, not putting down somebody else. What Christ has done for you. That's the testimony. Philippians 1:27. Live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ, standing strong with one purpose as you work together as one for the faith of the good news. You cannot go out into the world and be mad or be rude with other people as a Christian and bring honor to Christ. You can't do that, folks. And when you're out, your lifestyle outside the church, it's supposed to represent what you've learned in the church through Christ. And when you go out and you start nailing these poor waitresses that don't even get paid enough anyway, I can't believe that you messed up my order. Well, get over it. You ought to be thankful you're in a country where you can order. Okay, anyway, Mark 10:29-31. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left, now, oh, this is powerful. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Now listen to it. Who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, meaning you're still alive, you're still living. There's going to be persecution with everything that you've got. But listen to this, and in the age to come, eternal life. What a gift that God says, here you can have, but in this day, I'll give you a hundredfold to begin with.